Good afternoon. It's Friday, the 7th of April 2017, just after 1 o'clock. Welcome to UK Column News. I'm your host, Brian Gerrish. With me in the studio, Mike Robinson. We are joined today by David Scott from Northern Exposure. David will be speaking to us live from Jerusalem, where he's having a sunshine break. Well, I think we need to get straight into the news, Mike. Momentous events, and indeed, I think most people think shocking events.
Okay, so we're starting with the U.S. Attack on Syria. The Pentagon spokesman, Captain Jeff Davis, made a statement. He said, at the direction of the president, U.S. forces conducted a cruise missile strike against a Syrian Air Force airfield today. That was 4:40 a.m. local time. The strike targeted the airfield in Homs Governorate, and was in response to the Syrian government's chemical weapons attack of April the 4th, which killed or injured hundreds of innocent Syrian people, including women or children. The strike was conducted using Tomahawk land attack missiles launched from the destroyers USS Porter and USS Ross in the eastern Mediterranean Sea. A total of 59 missiles targeted aircraft, hardened aircraft, shelters, petroleum and logistical storage, ammunition supply bunkers, air defense systems and radar. And as always, the US took extraordinary measures to avoid civilian casualties and to comply with the law of armed conflict. This was the first thing that struck me about this, and particularly about the BBC's coverage of this morning, Brian, because on Radio 4's Today program this morning, they were busy talking about how they were the US and the West in general, unlike the Russians and the Syrians, tend to comply with the law of armed conflict, as if, you know, there's a different, you know, there's levels of killing that are at work here.
Well, I've got to come back into that, Mike, and say it's just the hypocrisy at the moment of the UK and the USA in particular over this, I think, is just appalling, because if we look at what is actually been done in Iraq, we look at Libya, we look at Syria, what's going on in Yemen. It's the killing is horrific. And part of my pickup today was the fact that once again, the US has said, well, we're going to stop the killing by killing.
Yes.
That's the nub of it.
David, what are your thoughts on what happened? But just before we bring in the Russian response to this.
Hello, Mike. The Skype is not just 100% at the moment, so I hope you're catching this. Well, I woke up to this news, and my first thought is, we've been here before. We've been here where a previous American president stood in front of the cameras and said, we know that Assad is launched this attack. We know it's a chemical attack, and we know it's by Syrian government officials. None of these things were proved by any evidence. All of these things were subsequently investigated and found to be false by have I lost you?
No, you're still here.
Okay, right, so my screen's gone a bit funny. I'll keep going. By independent journalists and by a UN-based investigation. So there was no substantiation for any of these comments. There was no substantiation for these pronouncements that it's known and established as to who the perpetrators are. And in fact, it would appear that Al-Nusra, Al-Qaeda linked Syrian rebels were in fact, in that case, the originators of the chemical attack. Now we have a situation where Assad has allegedly done this again. My next thought is, what possible reason could he have for doing this? In what way is it in any sort of his interest to launch a chemical attack? It's not. It would be absolutely crazy. It would be completely against his interest. He's winning the conventional war. He's neutralized American interest and the Western interest to some extent that's been driving this war, which, let's not forget, is a war between outside sources and the Syrian people and government. It's not a civil war. It would be entirely against his interests. So that alone would be enough to give any reasonable man pause for thought. And we've gone, unbelievably, we've gone from President Trump standing against the deep state, saying to CNN, you are fake news, and now President Trump is saying, CNN is quite right, we must take action against Assad. It's remarkable, it doesn't make any sense, I don't buy any of it.
Okay, well, let's get on to the Russian response then, because Putin put out a press release earlier on. He said the president of Russia regards the U.S. airstrikes in Syria as an act of aggression against a sovereign state delivered in violation of international law under a far-fetched pretext. The Syrian army has no chemical weapons. The fact of the destruction of all chemical weapons stockpiles has been recorded and verified by the OPCW, a specialized UN body. Vladimir Putin believes that the complete disregard for factual information about the use by terrorists of chemical weapons drastically aggravates the situation. The move by Washington has dealt a serious blow to to Russian-US relations, which are already in a poor state. That's what Putin said. His spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, actually went a bit further, speaking to reporters today. He said this step by Washington is causing significant damage to Russian-American relations, which are already in a deplorable state. So Putin saying a poor state, it's now a deplorable state. Putin's comments went on. He said, more importantly, this move will not bring us closer to the ultimate goal of combating international terrorism, but will instead create a major obstacle to the establishment of an international counter-terrorist coalition and to effective struggle against this global evil, something that U.S. President Donald Trump declared as one of his main goals during his election campaign. Vladimir Putin regards the U.S. strikes on Syria as an attempt to draw public attention away from the numerous civilian casualties in Iraq. This was then followed up by Sergei Lavrov, who said it's reminiscent of the situation in 2003 when the US, the United Kingdom, with its few allies, invaded Iraq without Security Council approval in gross violation of international law. He said now they did not even bother to provide any facts, referring only to photographs and again speculating on photos of children, and of course on the testimony of various non-governmental organizations to provoke actions against the Syrian government. He said, I do not know when we will happen to learn the whole truth on how decisions were made to attack Syria in this situation, but I think that, of course, the truth must be demanded, and we will do this. The strikes were delivered without waiting for an inspection visit, without waiting for an investigation. Yeah. It seems they want to deliver attention from the same Jabhat al-Nusra, and so it went on. And subsequently then, Russia has suspended the memorandum with the United States on flight safety in Syria. That's according to a statement from the Foreign Ministry. So this, all that has been achieved here, Brian, is to make the situation on the ground in Syria that much more dangerous, because we no longer have this memorandum of understanding. There's much more likelihood of a potential clash between the two. And it has completely destroyed the so-called détente that was being built up between Trump and Putin.
Absolutely, Mike. And this analysis by Putin over nobody's looking at the evidence, I can only agree with. We're going to be having our own analysis of what the BBC in particular has been saying. But David Scott there, going back to previous accusations about the Assad regime and chemical weapons, all of the UN material, all of the American material, all of the UK material, written material about this, came to the conclusion that some form of chemical weapon had been used in the past. No evidence that it was sarin, no evidence that it was the Assad regime that had released it. That was the case, it remains the case. And now we've got exactly the same thing happening. Absolutely no evidence against the Assad regime, but the BBC is now piling this on. And of course, what's the BBC already talking about? Regime change in Syria, the timescale for regime change in Syria. I think we're watching a really massive propaganda exercise here. This is a created event by the West, And we're now going to follow it up with mainstream propaganda, which has got one goal, which is to get Assad out of Syria.
Yep. Unfortunately, we've lost David.
And okay.
That's the internet between here and Israel. Well, here's Rex Tillerson in his last visit to the Kremlin or to Russia. He, of course, is going to visit Russia again next week. But I don't think it's going to be quite such a cordial reception this time, bearing in mind what's happened. But anyway, let's have a look at what he said. He said that Russia was committed to finding and destroying Assad's chemical arsenal under a 2013 arrangement. But the attack this week means that clearly Russia has failed in its responsibility to deliver on that commitment. He said, so either Russia has been complicit or Russia has been incompetent in its ability to deliver on that agreement. Any suggestion that Russia has been complicit is really pretty strong language in diplomatic terms.
Well, absolutely, because what they're really saying is that the Russians are not only complicit and weapons weren't destroyed, but Russia's complicit in lying to the United Nations, in lying to countries worldwide over the situation. So we always see the same thing. The only truth we're supposed to believe is the truth coming out of the White House or Westminster. And yet the evidence is more and more that we should utterly not believe what's coming out of these two centres.
Now, Michael Fallon was on Radio 4 this morning. I had a graphic, but it's the wrong one, so I apologise for that. He was on Radio 4 this morning, and he's saying the people who could stop it are not ourselves, but in the end it's Russia who has the influence over the regime in Syria, who could bring this war to a halt if they chose to do so. So this war in Syria could end immediately, according to Michael Fallon, right, if Russia chose to make it finish.
So Russia puts a stop to the fighting. We get negotiated peace. We get civilians who've been literally held hostage in vast areas of Aleppo. All of this is calmed down. We then have the West continuing to support the good terrorists. And then basically on the fringes, the violence starts to escalate. Then we have this attack. And now we blame it on the Russians. I'm running out of the descriptive language, Mike, because it's Alice in Wonderland, it's La La Land. This is utterly bizarre and childish propaganda that's now coming out of the West. We are reporting here from the heart of UK, and I have to say that what's happening around us is just astonishing. It is so artificial and created.
Absolutely. Fallon went on to say, we fully support this strike. It was limited, it was appropriate, and it was designed to target the aircraft and the equipment that the United States believe were used in the chemical attack and to deter President Assad from carrying out further chemical attacks. We fully support that.
Can I just interject there, Mike?
Yes.
Because there's the word believe. And this is one of the key things through all of the reporting. It's might, may, possibly, we believe, they said. Absolutely no factual evidence at all. So what was it, 58 Tomahawks launched on an air base on the basis that the Americans think that there was something there?
Yes. Now, Maria Zakharova, the Russian foreign ministry spokesperson, said that really the attacks were, any suggestion that the attacks were a response to Assad's use of chemical weapons were nonsense. She said that the strike was a show of force that had been planned long in advance. Well, let's just remember, of course, the since-removed report from the Daily Mail back in 2013, if we remember the Britam emails. Now, of course, this report taken down by the Daily Mail following threats by Carter Ruck, the lawyers that deal with reputation management, and the suggestion from Carter Ruck and from Britam was that the emails were in some way forged. But this headline here, US-backed plan to launch chemical weapon attack on Syria and blame it on the Assad regime. I think at the very least, this report was published by the Mail at the time. They clearly felt that they had enough to publish, despite what happened with Carter Ruck after following that. Nonetheless, it does raise questions.
It raises huge questions. The date on that, if people can't pick it up on the screen, is 2013, and I'm going to be coming back to that a little bit later in the news. So one would have thought that those documents would have prompted quite a major investigation, because, of course, the significance, were they to be true, is that the West is deliberately creating these wars in order to push ahead a political, geopolitical agenda.
Well, what I find interesting is the timing of the whole thing, Brian, because, of course, the attack itself took place at exactly the appropriate moment for the Brussels Syria conference, which Boris Johnson had organised. And then the subsequent US attack happened at exactly the moment that President Xi, Chinese Premier, was in the United States meeting with Donald Trump. Now, what was interesting about that meeting was that this week, Donald Trump had originally planned to be at a NATO meeting, but he changed the date, or he changed his plans, and invited President Xi to the States instead, and NATO decided that they would therefore move their meeting in order to accommodate that. So, you know, there are questions over the timing of all these events and how this has taken place. So what has happened here? We had Donald Trump, who appeared to be aligning himself with Russia and China. As Peter Ford commented yesterday, we'll bring this back up on screen. Now, if the jihadis wanted to complicate Trump's task of making America's policy more sensible with regard to Russia and China, they would have gone about it. They wouldn't have gone about it in any other way than trying to mount a piece of fake news like this. And that's his comments about the chemical attack itself. So what we have is a president who appeared to be aligning himself in a particular way, and suddenly he's done a complete about face around what appears to be this attack. But it's, of course, what was it? And I would just reiterate the point that David made earlier. We've been here before in 2003 with the yellow cake.
And I'll just add, Mike, that in the chat box, somebody is saying that in the proposals, they're saying that the US, UK and France were going to put inspectors, or there had been a proposal to put inspectors into this particular airfield to look at the types of munitions there. And then by an amazing coincidence, they're all wiped out.
Just coincidence. But the child abuse continues. And I'm going to say that this is a form of child abuse. The use of children for propaganda purposes. This is Bana, of course, who's got an amazing Twitter account that seems to just tweet 24 hours a day, seven days a week.
Pretty clever for a seven-year-old, Mike.
Absolutely. But the number of children who are being exploited by the other side in this, just that's all I want to say about that, because it's pretty reprehensible. And Paul Craig Roberts has pushed out a blog post today. Trump has surrendered, he is saying. That's quite definitive. Will Putin be next? I don't think Putin will be next. But, you know, do read that Paul Craig Roberts blog post. Very interesting. He said Washington has reopened the conflict with a Tomahawk missile attack on Syrian Air Force bases. The Russian Syrian air defense systems did not prevent the attack. Kiss goodbye to normalized relations with Russia. And then on Twitter today, Richard Kemp. What's his background?
He's a senior retired colonel, very well thought of in the, I will say, the retired camp, because he continues to be outspoken on what he thinks is wrong. And I know that David Ellis thinks highly of him. So this man is one of the few of the senior retired officers who's prepared to speak.
Well, I think he needs to open his eyes a little bit with this one, because somebody had tweeted, when an attack is described as being sarin, but photos show responders without protection appropriate for that, one thinks Gulf of Tonkin. And his response was a bit sarcastic. Yes, and of course the responders have full nerve agent protection equipment in their back pockets. The strike was not at Porton Down. Well, I'm sorry, Richard Kemp, but you have got to understand, or at least ask the question, where has the £32 million gone that Boris Johnson has given to these people? Because it was a White Helmet's first response.
Yeah.
It was the White Helmets that were on the ground. £32 million so far given to those people of British taxpayers' money. Boris Johnson didn't really say this, but what I've quoted him as here is saying, I've given them £32 million so far. Of course, none of that was spent on hazmat suits. Why would it be? Now, we've got to either decide that that Assad has used chemical weapons or not. If he has, as Boris Johnson claims, then surely some of that £32 million would be spent on hazmat equipment.
One would have thought so, and particularly if you are some of these white helmets that supposedly have been in a war zone and would have seen friends and colleagues killed by these substances, you would have thought they would have been pretty keen to actually get some proper equipment. But this brings us back to these key pictures of victims being handled by people with bare skin, no breathing apparatus, and yet we're constantly told this is high-grade chemical weapons.
Right, so here they are, and I'm more interested in looking at the first responders here because there's a guy in the white helmet. Where is this £32 million gone? Where has it gone? Where's the equipment?
That's the one where that man is put down on the flatbed lorry. Yes. There. You see his head hit the metal.
So aside from the brutality that's being shown to many of the people here, where is the equipment? So where did this £32 million go? I think that's the question that Richard Kemp should be asking, and not being a little bit sarcastic on this.
Yeah. These really are horrific pictures, and I think we're going to continue to push the UK column point. Where have these children come from? Where were they actually injured? How were they brought there? And one of a particular lady has contacted us, and I think it's quite an astute comment. She says that basically for children who have apparently been living under very severe conditions of deprivation in a war zone, that all their underwear is remarkably clean. It's remarkably in the fashion, if we can say that. Now, there may be something in this or not, but I thought it was a very astute question. Where did the children come from? Where were they actually killed, the ones who are being paraded dead? And why is it that all of these children look so remarkably clean and their underwear is clean? That is not consistent with the fact that they have been attacked by sarin gas.
And the other point is that I still am not clear as to why they were being undressed in that fashion in any case.
No. Well, let's bring in the moot at Nottingham, because if you, like us, are getting very fed up with what is going on in this country, it's quite clear that the Westminster government is no longer representative of the wider public in Great Britain. Something has to change. Something has to be done in an appropriate manner. Key to that is reasserting the proper rule of law in UK. We still have places available at this meeting. We want the hall full because 900 people in this hall will make all of the difference. What are we doing? Meeting, exchanging ideas and expertise as to how Britain's politicians are brought to account. So if you haven't got a ticket, get online and get one. You can purchase a ticket on the door on the day. But it does help us if you'll purchase in advance. Well, let's come in at a slightly different angle from the one we've just taken over Syria. We'll just remind people of what we were reporting yesterday. Here we've got the outrage against Assad nerve gas attack. Sorry, I think this is the day before last, actually. So this is the Times. And what does the Times say? Factually, sarin nerve gas was used. And all the symptoms suggest sarin. So it was fact. Sarin was used. And of course, we challenged this instantly because there was absolutely no evidence sarin had been used. And we pointed out that we've got three lady journalists here. If you read this Times article, you can see that the girls have cobbled together various pieces of information coming in from the Middle East. And it's then been woven together to give the political line that the Assad regime has used sarin. So we said this article is not right, and we challenged the Times directly on it. But here we are. Pentagon says strike intended to deter the regime from using chemical weapons again. So the comment is immediately accusing Assad. He did use chemical weapons, and the Americans are solving violence by getting more violence into the area. But we picked up on, if we can just bring this little bit in here, it says that what can forensics tell us? And if you press that link, it comes through to another BBC article. And we've asked the question here, but where is the evidence that Assad's regime has used chemical weapons and sarin in particular? So the BBC giving a link to this forensic analysis. And if we bring this in, this is the particular article. Now, who does the BBC use for an independent expert opinion? Well, we can say that it's this gentleman here. And if we bring this up so you can read it, it's Dan Kazita. He's a London-based consultant, former US Army Chemical Corps officer, and he's worked in chemical defence issues for over 25 years, including assignments at the White House Military Office and the US Secret Service. So this man is totally not independent, in my opinion, Mike.
No, how can he be?
I just fail to see how this man could be independent. Because, of course, he's highly committed to the American establishment. He's worked at the White House. He's going to have loyalty to the US military. But in any case, they're talking about the US Secret Service. So what sort of is his expert opinion? Well, part of this article, this BBC article, says in 2013, the chemical hexamine used as an additive was a critical piece of information linking the Ghouta attack to the government of President Assad. I read this and I had to take a sharp intake of breath, because what is hexamine? Well, you can go and buy a hexamine stove on Amazon. Hexamine is a chemical. It's used for all sorts of purposes, including cleaning, but in various forms we can buy it in this form. So how could you possibly get from a widely used chemical to the fact that a chemical attack was directly linked to the government of President Assad? How do you do that?
Cocaine? Heroin?
Well, we're running out of words again. But of course, this is the BBC utterly creating news. This is fake news being created by the hour, by the BBC, in order to push forward the agenda of now regime change, once again, regime change in Syria. So let's have a look at this man in a bit more detail. And here he is. I always like going to people's Twitter pages because they like tweeting about themselves. And here he's very big on the fact that he's written this piece on Syria. What else did we notice? Well, he's put out 95,500 tweets. Mm-hmm. Now, at a minute a tweet, he spent a lot of his life tweeting. Okay, that's fine. I noticed that he's got to put out 39 tweets to get a follower. So this man is not well respected in the Twitter sphere. That's a pretty poor ratio. But let's have a look at some of the things he says. Because of this shit, basically, like this, I refuse to go on LBC, even though they asked me several times. Fire Katie and I'll go on LBC. So what did Katie Hopkins say? Why is Trump taking military action against the only man, the only country standing fast against the tide of medieval religious fanaticism? Well, now we're getting to the basis of the politics of this man, because he's pretty vicious. He's not going to go and talk in an open, independent way, because he's clearly got some pretty strong political views. And I have to say, it gets worse. So let's have a look at another one here. This one's very interesting. He says big US officials said measures had been put in place to avoid hitting sarin gas, they say, was stored at this Assad regime airfield. So here's the hearsay. Yeah. Absolutely no factual evidence, but the BBC's so-called independent expert is clearly anything but independent. And how does the BBC have the cheek to try and put this across? Presumably it's because most people don't notice it.
It's just a completely unlikely scenario. They decide to send Tomahawk missiles to an airbase, and the airbase has what? Some buildings on it? How do they know what is in each of those buildings?
Well, you can't know unless you've got the assets on the ground. Right. In-house knowledge is the thing. So if you look at how military intelligence pictures are put together, at the end of the day, nothing beats good quality information coming. So they would have to have somebody working at the airbase who had access to areas where chemical weapons were stored in order to say to the Americans, I can tell you for certain these things are there. Did the Americans have that capability? Extremely unlikely. So we'll just give another one because I think this gentleman certainly deserves it. So have a look at this. How a lot of buyer's remorse from pro-Assad, pro-Putin Trumpkins who got it in their heads he was the anti-war candidate. And then he's also saying, you sad apologists for murder and war crimes. And this is coming back to Katie Hopkins again. This is not a nice man. And the other bit we noticed from his Twitter page is that he's linked into a company. So we decided to have a little look at that as well. And that brings in this one, Strongpoint Security. And now remember, we're just evaluating this gentleman as how independent he is of the system, particularly the political military system. So here's his company. And if you go on to the company, what is it boasting about? Well, it's boasting that he's been intimately involved with a European investment program called Horizon 2020. And this is, has put 80 billion euros of funding, has made it available for research and development projects 2014 to 2020. And if you read the text, this man is saying, you need to come to me because I can help you write the contract applications so that you can feed off this 80 billion of EU money. So this man clearly beholden to the White House. He's beholden to the European Union because he's not going to do anything to upset the EU over this level of contractual arrangement. So BBC, this man utterly not independent.
I would like to get a proper definition of the word independent, at least with the BBC in mind, because they clearly have a different definition than the one that everybody else has.
Exactly. Well, this is where I think UK Column has to say to our viewers and listeners, we need some help here because we're showing you what is going on. What is really needed is for a lot of good people from the public to ask very nicely and politely why the BBC is doing this and why they are attempting to skew the facts as to what's really going on in Syria. So where can we go from this? Well, let's have a look at another BBC article. Syria chemical attack. Trump condemns the affront to humanity. Here we are. It says that he condemned the killing of dozens of civilians, affront to humanity. When you kill innocent children, innocent babies, little babies, that crosses many lines. So here we get the trigger, Mike, that the babies was a key part of this. How do you wrench at people's hearts? You show tiny children, innocent little children being killed. I'm very suspicious of this line. But this is the one that we really want to focus on. The BBC says he did not mention Russia, Syria's ally, which says chemical weapons in rebel hands may have been released. Now, this was sent through to us today. And basically, on another website, BBC Syria, this is just from obviously not a BBC official website, we got this report. And it's saying, important, rare caveat removed from the BBC article on Syria chemical attack. So there's text there which on this Twitter page they claim the BBC removed.
Right. So that's coming from a website called News Sniffer. This is a really useful utility. So it's newssniffer.co.uk. And what they do is they suck in the content of news articles. And as those articles change over the day or over the week, you can see the differences. So that all that text that is in red, when it's in red, it's showing that that text has been removed from the article.
Yeah. So information which is of value to the public because it's making some very reasonable questions. If it is sarin that was stored there and conventional munitions were used, every possibility that some of those chemical munitions were not consumed and that sarin liquid was ejected. So comment, why has the BBC taken this out? Well, if we have a look at this bit, so we go back to the BBC's propaganda, we can bring in our consultant, Dan, as we've said. In a BBC article, he says that determining whether sarin was involved simply by examining video clips is problematic. Okay, fair enough. He added Tuesday's attack could have been the result of one of any number of chemical agents, as they tend to behave in the same way in terms of their physiological effects on the human body. That's fine. Sarin is almost impossible to detect because it's clear, colourless and tasteless liquid that has no odour in its purest form. Now, his opinion there, although we've been quite hard on this man, the BBC is saying there are eyewitnesses who describe an orangey green gas. This to me is much more like chlorine gas. Yeah. You can read about chlorine gas in the First World War. But what does the BBC do? They bring in this man. Here he is. So we've got Hamish de Breton Gordon, a former commanding officer of the British Armed Forces Joint Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear Regiment, told the BBC it was pretty fanciful. He says, if you blow up sarin, you destroy it. But then the next bit, it is very clear it's a sarin attack. It is very clear. Well, how is it clear?
Well, Brian, this brings in a whole new dimension here, because I need to check this, but I'm pretty sure Hamish de Breton Gordon is connected in some way with the White Helmets.
Well, that would fit very nicely, Mike, wouldn't it? Because, of course, the picture that we think is building is the fact that we have had a very theatrical and very unpleasant, deeply unpleasant propaganda exercise, which has been prepared to use dead and injured children. So I think more research on this man's needed. But I just wanted to say, Assad used sarin, that's very clear. No, it isn't. And the BBC damn well knows it. This is, yes, I know, I've had to put that in because I feel so outraged about this, Mike. Sometimes the language has got to change. The BBC's agenda all over the BBC website now is regime change. And let's come back to 2013, because in 2013, this is the letter I sent to Conservative MP Gary Streeter asking for his help to get Brooks Newmark, Conservative MP, to answer the questions which I'd actually put to him. And essentially, Brooks Newmark had been quoted in the Daily Mail saying that he'd been on the Turkish border and he had been talking to General Idris of the Free Syria Army. And at the time, he was happy to say that the Free Syria Army was connected with al-Nusra. So I asked Mr. Streeter why this Conservative MP was meeting with people directly linked to terrorist organisations, and Mr. Streeter did not want to assist. He simply blocked me. So we never did find out what this Conservative MP was doing in his discussions with people linked to terrorist organisations. And are we still happy it's a terrorist organisation? Well, here's the BBC's report up to date, saying in the last couple of days, al-Nusra, which formerly had ties to al-Qaeda, has now changed its name. It's merging with other groups. This is a terrorist organisation.
Absolutely a terrorist organisation. And what they are doing is that they, as they migrate people between the various terrorist groups, they rebrand these terrorist groups in an effort to sort of disassociate the fact that they were all al-Qaeda at the beginning. Al-Nusra Front, of course, pretty much established by the Saudi Arabians. And of course, Theresa May, just in Saudi Arabia within the last couple of days, telling the world what a great country it is and what a great relationship we have with them. And since it was Prince Bandar that basically set up al-Nusra in Syria, at least promoted them, gave them a lot of money, then that means that they are effectively our tame terrorists.
Our tame terrorists. And we had Conservative MPs meeting, secret meetings, with those individuals linked through to al-Nusra. And we have local Conservative MP Gary Streeter then protecting that Conservative MP so the public never told what was discussed. Well, finally, on this particular subject of the Syria attacks, encourage people to have a look at The Truth Hound, because Mark Anderson has got a really excellent article on the attacks here, which you can find on his Truth Hound website. Yeah, sharp intake of breath. It's really horrific what's going on.
Yeah.
Who do we bring in? Well, we better say, if you want us to continue to report, we'd like your support with subscriptions and donations, because we can only continue to do this with your financial help.
Okay, a couple of different topics to round the news off. This Reuters reporting here, the Twitter is, Reuters saying, reveling in its role of free speech defender because it's suing the Trump administration. This is over a Twitter account at @alt_USCIS, which the US government claims was an account run by one of its employees of the Immigration Service, and which was being used to post critical tweets of the Trump immigration policy. And so they've decided they want to know who this person is, and they attempted to put pressure on Twitter to divulge his identity. Twitter has decided they aren't interested in playing that game, and so they're going to sue the government over this demand by the Customs and Border Patrol that the person is identified.
Right. So we've got freedom of speech and democracy clearly under attack in America. Come back to this particular article in UK. Now, this was covered quite widely yesterday. This is the dad who lost his court case, which was to do with taking a child out of school during term time. But people, I think a lot of people, Mike, simply do not pick up how serious this is. In the BBC report here, I chose this because it was a useful piece of information, was an insert which gave a list of prosecutions to do with this. And here we are, proceeded against 19,920, found guilty 14,890.
So that's in 1 year. They took 19,920 prosecutions against people who took their children out of school during term time to take them on holiday,
according to the statistics. Right. So this is a money-making exercise, but of course it's thrown our justice and law system out of the window. This is immensely dangerous. And John Platt, the father, he was right on the money when he said this. The state is taking the rights away from parents. It's utterly shocking. The parents need the permission of the state to decide on school attendance. You're not the final arbiter of what is right for your child. Now, you've mentioned Theresa May. Let's bring her in. She said it's right for schools to decide on absences. It's right that the individual head teacher has the flexibility to make that decision. So we've now got head teachers being given the authority of judge and jury. Mm-hmm. This is very, very dangerous material. What she's really saying is this: I'm transforming law in Britain so that public servants can replace common law and juries to impose fines at will, to ensure that we keep the public in their place, and that is under our law, controlled by our laws. Mm-hmm. So we're putting her words into her mouth, but let's look at what this woman is really doing. And what is she doing with the children? Well, we think she's saying this. I want everyone to be clear. Children are the property of the British state. We want them educated in our values and morality, and not that of their parents. We want them vaccinated. And if some die of those vaccines, then so be it. We want them sexualized by our sex education schemes. If parents keep quiet and behave themselves, then they may also have a role in bringing up our children.
Yeah,
it's children also of the state. People should be outraged at what this woman is doing. Unbelievably dangerous. And we'll end on this one, which again is to do with democracy, freedom of speech. But we've been reporting the takedown of the Holly Gregg site. Now, remember, that site is about protecting children from child abusers. So the site said that Google had taken it down, and they believe that that action had occurred after the Scottish government put pressure on Google. And we think the Scottish government were spooked by a letter from MP Mr. Mowat, who started to ask really good questions about child protection. So UK column emailed Google. This is the email we sent them to say, is it true that Google took the site down? Is it true that you did it on the behest of the Scottish government? Well, for 3 days, we didn't get a response. We chased them. And then this happened. I got a response from a gentleman called Luke Jones, not of Google Media, but of Portland Communications. He said, thanks for getting in touch. Strictly on background, we will remove blogs if they violate our terms of service, but we don't comment on individual sites. So this wasn't Google speaking. It was a company called Portland Communications. I immediately emailed this man to say, are you acting as an agent for Google? But he didn't want to respond. But I was curious at the company. Here they are. Reputation management for governments is part of their speciality. And their head man, Tim Allen, worked very closely with Tony Blair in Number 10.
It does stagger me, Brian, that it doesn't matter what kind of stick you poke in or what direction that stick comes from. If you poke a stick into the Holly Gregg case in any way, you get bitten hard by some pretty significant players within the British establishment.
Yeah, which shows you that the case, of course, is 100% real. It goes right to the heart of the Scottish political establishment and Westminster. And they are now so desperate at the amount of information coming out, they've got to pull down a website and they've got to use one of the most powerful media companies to defend Google. I'm shocked to know that Google is so nervous of the Holly Gregg case that they have to bring in this political heavyweight with experience alongside Tony Blair. Mm. We better end there before we say something we're not allowed to say on the UK column. For our audience, thank you very much for joining us. We hope that if you are as shocked as we are about events in Syria, you will be taking your own action. And if you say, what can we do? Polite, measured, well-written emails and letters into the government, into local officials, into your local MP, into the local political associations. These letters and communications do have an effect, particularly when enough people do this. It's not enough to sit watching the UK column every day thinking we're entertaining you. We're doing what we're doing because we know that what is really coming is a vicious dictatorship. At the moment, the people of Syria are suffering. It will come to us if we do nothing. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back on Monday. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.